Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this beautiful fall Sunday morning. We are getting close towards the end of the year, 15th Sunday after Pentecost. This is still, we are in the Pentecost season until we get to the Advent season sometime before Thanksgiving. We'll continue to do the study of the Bible and the scripture and our doctrines during this time. As you can see, many people are not here. Several of them are sick. So please pray for them. Lisa and family, Marcus and family are sick, cold or something. So please keep them in our prayers. The announcements are on the second page in the bulletin if you want to follow that with me. Those are the regular announcements. But I will highlight a couple of announcements that I wanted to bring your attention to. Our lunch fellowship will be in October now. All are welcome to the lunch fellowship at Golden Corral at 1 p.m. on October 16th, Thursday, third Thursday of October. Next Sunday, so September 28th, will be the last Sunday of the month as we celebrate the blessings of the month, like birthdays, anniversaries, graduations, and many other blessings that people want to share. And also there will be lunch after service in the fellowship hall. All are invited for that for next Sunday. October 5th, the first Sunday of the month, we celebrate Holy Communion with the Hispanic congregation. All are invited to the Lord's table on that Sunday also. Reverend Tim Owens, you all know him, he will be back here preaching on that Sunday. We are also planning to be here. We are making a trip back to the clinic in Minnesota, Mayo Clinic. But depending on when we get back, we plan to be here as well. It's my follow-up with the clinic there. Thank you for your continued and faithful support of the ministries of the church by your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue to do the work that God has given us in this community faithfully. We accept our donations and by electronic means in various ways on our website. Please use that opportunity as well. We have Liliana online with us. She has some car troubles, but she's online with us today. So if you want to come and say hi to her, come by this way. Or I can turn the camera around. Those are the announcements that I have. Anybody have any other announcements? If not, let us worship God together. God has given one more day in our life to be here in this world alive. Not because of what we have done, it is because of God's grace. So let us be thankful for God's gift of life in this world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 98. I put it on the screen also. Let's see if we can bring that up. Okay, there you go. You can see if you can follow that. If you're able, please stand. We'll sing 1, 2, and 3. To God be the glory.
let's hear his words. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Great things he hath done, and greater rejoicing through Jesus the Son. Higher and higher and greater will be our wonder how transported Jesus be. Praise the Lord.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and almighty loving God, you are everlasting from everlasting. You have been God. Help us, Lord, as we come before you to worship you and praise you and adore you. We marvel at your majesty and power. We are astonished by the mystery of your redeeming love. You have shown to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world, lived among us, died and rose from the dead so that we can have eternal life with you. Thank you for blessing us with the salvation from our sins. Thank you for your protection and care every day, Lord, even when we have been unfaithful, you have been faithful to us. We thank you for your grace and redemption, and also the sustenance that you give us every day, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Above all, thank you for your guidance and gift of the Holy Spirit, that you open the way to eternal life to every race and nation by sending your gift to us to be our guide and our comforter. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords, eternal and ever-living and almighty God. May the services we do here today in our singing, in our prayers, meditation of the word, and all the things that we do here will bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints around the world and the angels in heaven. Thank you again, and touch each and every one of us according to our needs today. As we go from this place, that we will be filled with the power of your spirit. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It is our greeting time now. If you can greet up and greet each other in Christian love.
They can't hear you with the noise in the background.
A lot of noise.
It can get somebody to fix it. That's what he thinks.
But he's going to have to get you a person.
Yeah.
He's going to smack you if you don't.
Okay, our congregation choice today is page 364. Perhaps one of the most dynamic songs ever written, Because He Lives. You'll find it also on the screen. Please stand and join us in all three verses. And I chose this one. No one else.
Yeah.
Standing, we'll read Psalm 138, our responsive reading, which is also going to be on the screen. See if you can follow that. The responses will be in red, if you can read that far. It's on page 853. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise.
Bow down to your temple. Give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and faithfulness.
For you have exalted above all things your name and your word above everything. You answered me. You strengthened my life. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It's our prayer time now, where we come before God and bring our prayers of praises. And we give thanks to God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we bring our prayers of burdens and concerns as a church family. And lift them up to the throne of grace of God, so that God will answer our prayers according to his time and his will. The regular prayer items, if you turn the back of the bulletin, those are listed in the boxes listed there. Please pray for these people and these items listed. Thanks be to God for the recovery of Wayne. He is back now playing with us. Amen. And he can walk without any pain. Or you want to say something?
Well, I can honestly walk now, and my knee does not hurt. And I have been, every step I took for 2 years, this knee hurt. So I should have done this a long time ago. It's still swollen, still a lot of healing to be done, but it's excellent. But I would like to say thank you to a few people. You know, the first week after surgery, you don't want any food. You just want to just stay in bed. But then Mike and Linda brought up food every weekend. They kept us supplied in food all these weeks. And all I had to do was heat it up during the week. But when you heat up the same thing every day, you get tired of it. Well, the pastor and evangelist brought over Red Robin hamburgers one night. Boy, was that good. And then another night, they brought over food from Culver's. Excellent. Liliana came over and cooked one Saturday shrimp fajitas, and another Saturday, empanadas, which she knows I like. I had to go to Jasper for an injection in my eye. Some of you don't know, but I have to enlarge music to see it. I can't see the small print in the book. And this injection doesn't make it go away, but it keeps it from getting worse. I couldn't drive. But I had told Lou about this restaurant in Jasper for soul food. And she said, the next time you go, I want to go. I said, Lou, you drive us over there and I'll take you to that soul food restaurant. She drove us, okay? She and Carol went to the Waffle House for coffee while I go get a shot in the eye. And I take them to the soul food restaurant, and Lou had catfish, collard greens, and hush puppies. And now picture this, it's a funny sight. Lou's on a walker, Carol's on a walker, and I'm on a walker. I still can't walk very well. We get three walkers out of the back of the car, and all three of us try to go through that ramp and up that small door into the restaurant. But we made it. Then 2 weeks later, I had an injection in the other eye. I still couldn't drive. And I told Lou about this restaurant in Baldwin that had really good homemade biscuits, and she wanted to go. We got there, and the restaurant was closed, but we went next door to a German restaurant, and it was good. She drove us on over there. She and Carol went for coffee. I got a shot in the eye, and she brought us back home. I want to thank all of you for helping us during these weeks.
You had a good time, it looks like.
Lou can be fun.
Yeah, I lost everything.
You want to say anything about your experience or not? Thanks be to God for all the blessings that we have, you know, how things work out. Even in the midst of our pain, you know, there is always reason to rejoice. People pray for us, people care for us, the love that we have together to share with each other. That is the precious thing in this world. No matter how we look at each other, love is the precious thing in this world. Thanks for sharing that testimony, Wayne.
Yeah, you can take me off the prayer list.
Oh, okay, we'll do. I'll take you off the prayer list. Continue to pray for our dear ones, Jean McPrayer and Grace Haynes and Harry Basil, Carol is here, Jerry Raines, Sean and Amy Conway, and Harry Crumlin. How is it?
My nephew is still, he can't walk. He can talk now, but he can't walk. He's still in serious trouble.
He's back home, or?
He is back home now.
Okay. And Ed and Butler are better?
They're both home now.
Okay. Want to keep them in the list, or?
There's wires.
Oh, wires still go in their body. Okay. Keep over. That's not
good.
We have a dear friend of ours and also a distant relative of ours in the hospital in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it's so shocking that they moved from, where were they moved from? Chicago to Charlotte for North Carolina for their job. And about 3 weeks after that, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
Oh, Lord.
And her husband and her were just getting settled and starting the new job. And finally, I mean, they can't do anything to the cancer. So she's kind of in a hospice situation in the hospital. Waiting for her death at any moment. So that really shocked all of us a little bit. We were able to meet with their relatives yesterday. They're all in shock. They have two kids. Both of them are studying and working in Ireland for some reason. And one of them was able to come here. The other could not get a visa. Okay, so they are working with the senator here. It's very hard to get a visa to come here in this country now lately. So they're trying to work with the senator to get a visa. Hopefully that girl can come and see her mom before she dies. So please keep that family in your prayers. They're a very unfortunate situation. So we need to keep them in our prayers. Anybody have any special prayer requests or to share like that? Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and our many, many people who work behind the scenes to make our lives easy every day. Farmers, construction workers, grocery clerks, delivery people, trash workers. I mean, if I forget somebody, there's so many out there who help us out every day to make our life comfortable. So please remember these people and don't forget the services that they do to us, and pray for them and their families. Let us also pray for our nation, our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress, and the governors, and many, many others who make decisions on a daily basis, that God will give them the wisdom to make the right decisions, to unite our country so that we can be have a peaceful society as we move forward with all the things that we need to do. Especially pray for the world leaders, that they will also fear God, and God will give them the wisdom to make good decisions that will bring peace to this world also. And let us pray for our church and leaders of our church and all the churches in coming in this area, the pastors, the missionaries, and the world church at large around the world who is working to spread the love of Christ in many parts of the world. Keep them in our prayers. Those are the prayer requests that I have today. If nobody has any special prayer requests, anything else? Okay. I took your name off the list. Do you want me to put you back? Are you okay?
Yeah, you put me back on the list. I need all the prayer.
Okay. So, and I know she has been sick for a while, so I'll put her back on the list. Please keep this in your prayer desk. And pray for these people and items every day. Prayer changes things. And also prayer is something that we can do wherever we are without going any places. So please pray for our dear ones. Let's go to God in prayer with a silent moment in the beginning. Then I'll close with a closing prayer afterwards.
Thank you.
The scripture says God will meet all of our needs according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus, through whom God has given us more than we could ever deserve. Merciful and gracious God, we come before you as your children, trusting in your promises that you will answer our prayers according to your will. We thank you for this gift of praying for our needs and also praying for each other, interceding for the other people and other things in this world. Because it's a privilege that you have given us as your children to come before you with whatever we want to ask of you as our Father. Lord, we thank you for the manifold blessings you shower upon us. The gift of life is precious to us, O God. We thank you for all the blessings that you give us every day. We thank you for your presence in our lives, comforting us and healing our bodies whenever we need healing, and guiding us with the gift of your Spirit every day of our lives. O God, you are the source of all good things, and you desire only good things for us. We seek your presence. We seek your comforting guidance every day. We come before you with our brokenness, O God, also. Many of us need healing in our bodies. We thank you for the recovery that Wayne had, and thank you for the great testimony that you gave him and us through him. We continue to pray for our dear ones who are looking for healing in their bodies. We pray for Lou as she is back with us today. Continue to help her, Lord, with her pain, and strengthen her in her faith and her spirit. We pray for Jean McBrayer and Grace Haynes, Harry Basil. We pray for Carol. We pray for Jerry Raines. We pray for Sean and Amy Conway. We pray for Harry Crumlin and Ed and Bartolo. And also we remember the Howell family as they are also recovering and dealing with their cold and situations at home. We pray for your healing hand to touch these people and heal them according to your grace, according to your time. Above all, we pray for peace for them and for their families. We also lift up Elsie in your hands, O God. According to your will and your time, you know what is good for them and her and the family. Bless them, Lord, O God, with the peace they need at this time. And we also pray that you will grant the right time, the visa for that little girl to come over to be with her mom. We pray for your miracle to happen during this time as we unite in prayer and pray, O God. We pray for all those who are in various situations looking up to you for their needs, troubled in their bodies, troubled in their minds and the spirits. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, many, many, many others that sometimes we forget. We thank you for their services, O God. We pray that you will be with them and give them the grace to live every day, and we pray for their families also. We pray for our nation, Lord. We pray for our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others. Lord, that we can have good leadership that will bring and unite our country, that we will be still the leaders in this world, Lord, so we will be an example to the rest of the world, showing your grace and your love and compassion, not just through our might, but through our love. Thank you all, always being there for our leaders. We pray that you will give them the wisdom to follow your will and your guidance. We pray for the world leaders also, that we need world peace at this time in many parts of the world. We lift all those people affected by the war in the Middle East and Ukraine and many other parts of the world, in African areas. We pray that your special healing hand to cover them, O God. We pray for your Holy Spirit to hover them with your safety and protection. We pray that you'll bring an end to all these wars so that we can have a peaceful society in this world. We pray for our church, and we thank you for this time that you have given us in this time of history to be here to do your work, to share your love to the needy people around us. Help us to be faithful in giving and also sharing our witness to the people around us, Lord. Pray for all the churches in this community and the pastors and the various work that they are doing. We pray for all the world the church at, at large around the world, the missionaries and many others who are around the world, in many parts of the world, sharing your love. Bless them with your grace. Empower them with the power of your Holy Spirit as they do their work. Be with us today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. As we hear and open our hearts to your word, O God, touch each and every one of us according to your will and your grace and our needs. You know our needs better than ourselves. We thank you for your presence in our midst today. Bless each and every one of us. Empower us with your spirit. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come and take up the offertory.
Pastor, you mentioned Harry and Jan. I spoke with Jan this past week. Their plans to move have been slowed a little because Harry fell and had some stitches. I don't remember if it was in his forehead or face.
Oh, really?
She still wants to come down, but right now it's slowed down because of that.
Okay, I was planning to call them this weekend, but I got tied up with the other family today. Okay. Scripture says every good and perfect gift comes from above, down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Gracious and merciful God, you are the source of all that we have and we are. We come before you with a portion of what you have given us, Lord. We have received more than we deserve from your hands, O God. Help us to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We bring before you a portion of what you have given us as a witness to the love we have for you. Loving God, we thank you for those who were able to give joyfully and pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God. Bless and help us to use this offertory to share your love in this community and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As you remain standing, we will read the scripture now. I've been reading all of these things. Anybody wants to come and read it? You know, Linda told me she wanted to preach. So I will read it. You can follow that on the screen also. This is a continuation of the message on Peter, the letter of Peter, that we will study, and then we'll go to the next book, Book of Jude. I'll tell you about the history of that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of the water and by water. But these waters but by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow to keep in his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens and by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word. As we come before your word, open our hearts that we can receive your word with humility and obedience. Illumine our souls, O God, that we can understand the meaning of the message that you speak to us. As we continue to study the doctrines through the apostles that you gave us, help us, Lord, to obey your commandments every day, to be rooted and established in our faith and in our doctrines, that we will not be swayed by the various winds of wrong doctrines around us. Bless us with your grace so that we can understand the message you speak to us today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Peter closes his letters with the reminder that the day of the Lord is at hand. But how long have we been hearing this? That the Lord is coming back, right? We have been hearing it for the last 2,000 years. But the people, the church in the first century also had the same problem, that they have been hearing about the second coming of Lord Jesus for hundreds of years only, maybe less than 100 years in the first century, and another 100 years in the second century maybe. But they started questioning, when is this Lord that you're saying is going to come back? And Peter is answering them, you must understand, in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors, everything goes on as it is since the beginning of creation. But nothing changed. Jesus is not here yet. So they were trying to teach a different doctrine, saying that Jesus is not coming again. He has already come, and we don't have to look for his second coming. So Peter wanted them to be strong in their doctrine that Jesus will come, but our understanding of his second coming is to be reoriented, because he says our timing is not God's timing. Our timeline is also not God's timeline. We are limited by time in this creation. God created everything. So he is beyond time and beyond creation. He is outside of creation. He is not limited by time. That is what Peter is telling the people who are doubting the second coming of Christ. Your concept of time is completely wrong, because you are limiting your time based on our timing. We have 24 hours a day, so we know what a day looks like. But to God, there is no day and night, because he is outside of time. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. So this is how deep he goes as Peter, a fisherman, who tells the doctrine about creation and the eternity and the time concept. That's amazing how God can change an uneducated, illiterate fisherman to a saint who is teaching the church the deep theology and doctrines like this. It's, a lot of people say that even though Peter has authored this letter, somebody else probably wrote it, because the language is so polished and so scholarly. So some probably writer or somebody, a scribe or somebody, has probably helped him write this. But the message came from Peter, whatever way it was written at that time. He's talking about the beginning of creation, and think about how God created everything. God is not part of the creation. God is the creator. We are the part of creation, and we have time based on earth and the planets and the solar system and other systems around us, the whole universe. But God is outside of all of this, because he created everything. So his time is not our time. His day is not our day. His timeline is also not based on our timeline. And he is telling about the origin, the creation. How did creation happen? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's what we read first verse of the Bible. And then he talks about, we talk about the creation for every day. First day, he created this. Second day, he created this. Third day and sixth day, he created everything, and then he rested. That's what we, the seventh day he rested. That's what we read in the Bible. So what is that day? Is it a 24-hour day? Or is it something else? Peter is telling them, our concept of day is not what God's day is. Maybe God's day is our day. One day is probably for 1,000 years for God's day. And he says that, do not forget this one thing, dear friends, that with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So that's how we need to look at things. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise to come back. He's delaying his coming so that more people will come back to God and will not perish. Because whoever is not with God at that time will be perished. That is what Peter is telling them. Instead, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So God is giving us more and more time to repent and to restore our lives back to God. That's the reason that God is delaying his second coming. So don't be fooled by these scoffers. He called these people who spread this wrong doctrine, he's calling them scoffers. I don't know, that word is not a very common word, that you don't use that much, right? What's the meaning of that scoffer? Liar?
To speak.
Unnecessary.
Not unnecessarily, it's derogatory.
Derogatory, okay. So it's not
making
a very
fun of and derogatory.
Okay, so that's not a common word that we use, but Peter is very much telling them these are scoffers. Don't listen to them. And we do have a lot of them around us even now, don't we think?
Oh yeah.
Turn on the TV or the radio. Everybody talks from the Bible, but you will see a lot of scoffers around us scoffing about their own interest. That's what Peter is saying. you can distinguish between the real doctrine and the wrong doctrine by looking at whose desires are they talking about. The scoffers will only follow their desires, and the real preachers will follow the desire of God.
Yes.
God's will is what is primarily important for the real preachers. The others will have other things in mind, their self-interest, their evil desires, to make money, maybe, a lot of them do, and to have their own pockets full, or to have, you know, I'm not against people flying in jets and things like that, but Jesus walked without a sandal
yes,
on the sandy plains of the Palestine. But here we have mega churches and big pastors flying in jets from one church to the other every Sunday. I'm not against any of those things, but we always have to understand what is the desire behind this.
Yes.
Is it self-interest, or is it the interest of God's grace and love in this world? So Peter is very, very pointed and telling them that you need to understand these things. Where is this coming from? And how are they preaching these things? So when we go to the, this is the end of the letter of Peter, and then we'll go to Jude. The letter of Jude and letter of Peter has a lot of things in common. Peter uses some mild tone in criticizing these scoffers. Jude is very sharp and pointed. Jude has only one chapter, as Philemon we read before, but Jude, the letter of Jude, one of the disciples, is also very similar to Peter's letter, but more sharp in his words in criticizing the bad preachers preaching the wrong doctrine. So when God has promised, he will come back and establish his kingdom in this world, he will come back, because we know that God cannot change his promises. That is one of the fundamental things that we need to understand. God cannot change. In the book of James, we read that God does not change like shifting shadows. The shadows will shift based on the season, right? And I believe it's in the spring and summer, the sun is more towards the north.
No. Yes.
Right? And when it gets winter, the sun gets to the south.
Yeah.
Based on the position of the sun, our shadow will change too, right?
Yeah.
Our shadow will be on one side in summer and will be on the other side in winter. Why is it that? The sun is not changing. You know the sun doesn't change. But our shadow keeps changing. It is because I learned that it's because of the angle of the earth. The earth is tilted, right? How many degrees? 23? I don't know exactly. The axis of the earth is a little tilted.
Yes.
So as it goes around the sun, in winter, it goes away, the tilted away from the sun. So that's why we have cold weather. And our shadow is on the other side. So whatever it that be, Peter is explaining that a little bit milder to these people and saying that God cannot change like that. He's not like the seasons, because God made the seasons. So he does not change based on the season. We don't have a cold God in winter, right? God is not cold in winter. He doesn't get cold. We get cold. Am I right?
Amen.
We don't have a cold God. He's always there living and taking care of the things that he created. That's only because we are surviving. That's because we are, that is our sustenance. Because there's a living God who takes care of all of these things that he created. He's not a passive God sitting there watching our suffering every day. No, he is a God who is presently active every day in our life in this world. So Christ's return is going to be very true, very real, just as he promised. Because he cannot change. He is a faithful God. He cannot lie. He cannot change like shadows, like the seasons of this world.
Amen.
And he is keeping his faithful in keeping his promises. But many times we count our days and our years. Peter begins by reminding us that his second coming is for sure, because he never changed his promises. If you look at the scripture from the beginning to the end, full of promises that God has fulfilled. And a lot of promises that we we even know in our own lives that God has fulfilled in our lives. Because God is faithful. And His faithfulness never changes. And it is new every morning. And God Himself is light. So we have shadows because the sun gives us light and it hits our bodies or our objects and we get shadows. But if God Himself is light, He doesn't have shadows. He cannot have shadows. So these are all the things that very deep in this teaching that Peter is teaching them, that God Himself is light and He cannot lie. And there's so many promises in the book, in the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, we read that God is a faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations.
Yes, yes.
In 1 Corinthians, Paul declares that the Son of Jesus Christ, our Lord, His words are so faithful. And in Psalm, David sings like this, "For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake His faithful ones. They will be protected forever because He is faithful." And Jesus Himself said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in Me and believe in the Father. My Father's house has many mansions, and I am going to prepare a place for you. And when I prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with Me, that you also may be where I am."
Yes.
He's going to keep His promise. The promise is that He will come back. And also, God's measure of time is different from ours, like I already told you. Our one day may be 1,000 years for God. And 1,000 years for us will be like one day for God. Just like God created the heavens and the earth, the difference between the day one and day two, we don't know how many billions of years it is. The scientists are saying the earth is, 6 billion years old? Probably so. It's not about our years. God has a different time and measurement, and we don't know what it is. A man had a dream one time after reading the scripture from Peter saying that for God 1,000 years is like one day and one day is like 1,000 years. He thought about money. How much would like $1 million for God? So he prayed. He asked God, "God, how about $1 million for you?" And the Lord said, "Maybe it's just like a penny for you guys." And then he said, "Well, what is like a million pennies for you? It's like $1 for Me." So the man gathered all these things and said, "If there is about $1 million for a penny," he said, "it's smart to ask God for a penny." So he prayed, "God, can I have a penny?" Then God answered him the next day and said, "Well, child, I wanted to give you a penny, but I need 1 second. Because this 1 second is going to be like 1,000,000 years. So that's what happened. God's measures are different. And God is faithful. His measures are different. And also the ascension of Jesus. Jesus was lifted up to heaven. Jesus is not the only one who rose from the dead, who was raised from the dead, right? He raised Lazarus from the dead, right? We know
Amen.
That. And there are prophets who raised people from the dead. Peter raised a girl from dead. So there are people who rose from the dead. But the difference between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the other people, all of these people who rose from the dead other than Jesus lived in this world and they died again.
Amen. Yes.
But Jesus rose from the dead never to die again. And where did He go? If He didn't die, He was ascended into heaven, right? That's what we read in our Sunday Nicene Creed. We declare our faith that He rose from the dead, ascended to
heaven.
So heaven is a place. It's a real place. It's not some magic world somewhere, this virtual world that nobody knows where it is. It's not like that. It's a real world. And it's a real world where real people live. And we know who is there.
Yes.
Because they saw Him, Jesus, ascended to heaven. That's what the Bible says. So who is there? We know that Jesus is already there. We know God is there because He went to the Father. So God the Father, God the Son is there. And God the Holy Spirit is with us. And we will be reunited one day in the same place. So we better believe that heaven is a real place. And if heaven is a real place, hell is also a real place. But you don't want to be there. Sometimes you think that, oh, these are all the mysterious places, it's not real, you know. It's not true. These are real places. And our dear ones who have believed in God, who have gone before us, are there, waiting for us.
Yes.
That we will be rejoined together one day, and we'll be together with Jesus one day forever. That is what our hope is all about. So these are all real things, and don't be distracted and misled by the scoffers who are teaching the wrong things. The Lord's day will come. But also, Jesus said, the Lord's day will come as a surprise. Mm-hmm. That is the catch. He will come. And remember the story of the parable that Jesus taught while he was in this world about the 10 virgins who had lamps lit, waiting for the bridegroom?
Yes.
Five had oil in their lamp, the others had an extra oil.
Yes. Amen.
So if you have only oil in your lamp and no extra oil, you are not ready for the groom because we don't know when he's coming. Five of them ran out of their oil, and the other five had extra oil they carried with them. So when the real bridegroom showed up at the unannounced time, that's how the Jewish weddings were at that time. The announcement of the coming of the groom is unannounced. It's a surprise. So the bride had to wait for the groom as a surprise visit. I'm glad that it's not like that here. We will be surprised. So this is the coming of the Lord is like the surprise visit of the groom. So they could understand and relate to it a little bit. When the five women who didn't have the oil in their lamp went out. So what did they do? They ran out to get some oil. While they were running out and they were away looking for oil in the stores, then the bridegroom came. And then the door was shut. They didn't have any more presence with the groom after that. So we have to be ready at any time. Jesus said that story, that parable, to tell us that we have to be ready every moment of the day.
Yes.
A friend of mine wrote a little story because he had a dream one day. And he says that the coming of the Lord, getting ready for the visit of the second visit of Jesus, is not an 8-minute job. Because he, in his dream, he was standing outside his house on the street, and Jesus was passing by and told him that I'm going to visit that house and I will come to your house after that. And he was like surprised and shocked. He said, how many minutes do I have, Lord? He said, well, I usually spend about 8 minutes in each house. So I'll be there about 8 minutes, and after that I'll be at your house. And he got panicked. He called his wife and said, hey, Jesus called me and said that he's be in our house today, and he's coming after this neighbor's house in 8 minutes. And she couldn't believe it. She said, what? Jesus coming to our house? He's not ready for it. We have a lot of preparation to do. So he went to the house and started cleaning up the house. And the wife started calling the kids and said to straighten up their rooms and all the things and all the nasty things in their house that clean up that they needed to do. Put a little Bible on the table that found a Bible to please God and all those things that started. And then the more they clean up, the more mess that they see. And they didn't know what to do with all these things. You have only 8 minutes left. So what he did was piled up all of these things into a closet. You can do that all the time, right? You know what happened? Then what happens? See, the closet doesn't close. The door doesn't close because all the junk in there. So finally he figured out and said, Lord, I cannot do it in 8 minutes. The second coming of the Lord is not an 8-minute job preparation. We need more time. But that's not how life works, right?
Amen.
When you are called from this world, like death comes at any time. Mm-hmm. Thank God it's a surprise. Because if we knew exactly when we are going to die, the world would be different.
Yes.
People would go crazy. Thank God it is a surprise that when we are going to die and where we are going to die, it is a surprise for everybody. Because otherwise people will go mad. And people would do anything they would do there to do, right? Because they don't care about anything. I'm going to die. If I know that I'm going to die in 10 minutes for sure, I'll go crazy, right? Thank God it's a surprise. Many important things in our life are surprises. So God's visit, coming of the Lord second time, is a surprise. And we have to be ready. And Jesus said, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. We are not asked to calculate the time of Jesus' coming. It is God's business and it's His business. Jesus said it's the Father's business that when the second visit of God will come, or the end of the world will come. It is not for us to calculate. Many preachers are out there putting numbers together and say, there was a guy who was called Cambing, who had a radio station, who said the world will end in 2012. And you and I know that world did not end in 2012. In 2013, he died. And before he died, said, I made a mistake, because I should not be calculating God's return. I should be searching the scriptures for how I should live in this world until God returns. So don't take business with God in our hands. It is God's business when He will return. So we will continue with the study with the letter of Jude next week. And letter of Jude has only one chapter, right? So if I ask you, did you read chapter 3? Be careful. So be careful with that. Read, it's a very small book. Look it up and read if you can, and we'll continue with that study. But let us be true to our doctrine that God is faithful and He will fulfill His promise. He will come and establish His kingdom in this world with righteousness and truth. And that is our hope one day, and let us be rooted in that hope. Don't be wavered. Don't be doubtful. He will come. And not maybe in our lifetime, who knows. But our job is to be faithful, not to be famous, like some people say. God does not want us to be famous, but to be faithful. Amen. God does not want us to take His business of calculating when He will come, but we know that He will come one day. Our job is to continue the work of God, sharing His love to this world as long as we have time here. May the good Lord bless us with these words. As we go from this place, be faithful witnesses for His kingdom in the days to come. Amen. The closing hymn is Marching to Zion. You need to help us with singing this, because I don't know much how to sing this. But Wayne will be playing in the piano. It's 733. If you are able, please stand. We will sing 1 and 4. Stanzas 1 and 4. If you are able, stand.
And let our joys be known in the souls of God, in a song with singing, and thus around the throne, and thus around the throne. You're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let our songs abound, now let them every drop. We are marching through Emmanuel's crowd. We are marching through Emmanuel's crowd. To fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We are marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. Marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
People of God, the day of the Lord is not about fear, but about fulfillment. Because God is faithful, He will fulfill every promise that He has made. It is the day when every promise of God will come true. Until then, let us live our holy lives in this world and grow in grace, and let us hold firmly to the hope of the new heaven and new earth that God has prepared for us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you, now and forevermore. Amen.
I'll get it.
Thank you.